Well, before I began, y'all did a great job. That was just really good. And that piano player which one is that? Is it just excellent? I really thoroughly enjoyed that. I'm sure God did too. So thank you. Before I introduce our speaker, let me first say a few words of thanks. Several years ago, the Lyceum Committee and the Art Department began to explore the possibility of bringing a broader voice of worship and praise to Union's Chapel program. Our desire was to actually hear from God through the many voices that He anoints as we accept the living out of His image in all areas of life and culture. No voice has a clearer message nor a longer ordination period than that of creativity, as we know in God's initial introduction of Himself to us as humans as beginning by creating. So I would like to first say a word of thanks to the Lyceum Committee for having such a sincere desire to deepen all of our understanding of God's worship gifts. Also to thank Dr. Dockery and Dr. Wells for their vision for what it means to worship in chapel. To each one of my colleagues who I cannot say enough about, Chris Nadaski, Melinda Eckley, and Steve Halla, and Angela McDaniel, who each in their way are completely committed to the mission and ministry of God Almighty in the arts at this great university, and to each one of you for attending this chapel. 3 years ago, the Lyceum Committee and the Art Department brought to chapel the painter Mako Fujimura. Last year, we hosted the art writer and philosopher Calvin Seerfeld, and this year is no different. Dr. James Romaine comes to us from NICAMS, Bethel University Satellite Campus in New York City, where he serves as the professor of art history. NICAMS is a faith-based residency program that provides young art students an opportunity to live, work, and create in the art capital of the world. Dr. Romaine received his PhD from the City University of New York. He is a frequent lecturer, essayist, and author of 2 books, and is currently working on a book about Tim Rollins and the KOS kids, which is just a favorite group of all of ours in the art department. He also currently serves on the board of Christians in the Visual Arts. Please join me in a very sincere welcome for James Romaine.
Good morning. I'm blessed to be with you here today. This is my first opportunity to speak in a university chapel, and I'm very grateful and honored to have been invited. This morning, I would like to introduce you to the artistic collaboration of Tim Rollins and KOS. I'll be using the example of their creative practice and their works of art to briefly describe what I see as 3 biblical mandates for Christian vocation. By this, I don't only mean the vocation of the Christian called into the visual arts, but the vocation of anyone who's a follower of Jesus Christ. Before proceeding further, I would like to note that the title of my talk, The 3 Dimensions of a Complete Artist, as well as its 3-part structure, is adapted from a sermon by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. entitled, The 3 Dimensions of a Complete Life. Time will not permit me to go further in depth on King's sermon, but I wanted to acknowledge it and to invite you to read King's sermon if you wish to pursue some of his ideas further. Tim Rollins and KOS, which stands for Kids of Survival, is an ongoing collaboration that began in the South Bronx community of New York City in 1981. The artistic collaboration between Rollins and KOS began in a public school in the South Bronx and has evolved into an ongoing studio practice. This is an image of Tim Rollins and KOS that was taken just 2 months ago. Tim Rollins and KOS's art is included in more than 80 public collections, including the Memphis Brooks Museum of Art in Memphis, Tennessee, the Museum of Modern Art in New York, the National Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C., the Birmingham Museum of Art in Birmingham, Alabama, and the Mint Museum of Art in Charlotte, North Carolina. They've had more than 100 solo exhibitions and are the subject of numerous books and catalogs. For nearly three decades, Tim Rollins and KOS have produced art, mostly paintings, based on literary texts such as Mark Twain's The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn and Stephen Crane's The Red Badge of Courage. Rollins and KOS read these texts together. They discuss the text's main themes and how those themes might relate to their life. Then they collaboratively develop visual motifs, not to illustrate the text, but to describe their own response to the text. Finally, Rollins and KOS paint these motifs onto the pages of the book, which they have unbound and laid across the canvas in a grid. In an example of the Red Badge of Courage, we see that Rollins and KOS have contemplated the theme of the wound. Rollins and KOS have considered how a wound may become something beautiful as suffering is given meaning and dignity through faith. This work appears to be at once a microscopic view of the body and a macroscopic view of the universe. These wounds are both biological and spiritual, personal and cosmic. This work literally draws connections between our temporal state of brokenness and suffering and the eternal perspective of God's perfecting beauty. Tim Rollins and KOS, both in their collaboration and in their works, exemplify one way in which Christian faith can find expression in contemporary art. Although the faith commitments of various KOS members varies, Tim Rollins is a Baptist. Raised in rural Maine, Rollins is currently the only white member of Memorial Baptist Church in Harlem, New York City. Some of Rollins and KOS's works, such as the Psalms or Suffering and Faith, are overt markers along their spiritual journey. I would propose, however, that all of their art, including examples such as Incidents in the Life of a Slave Girl or A Midsummer Night's Dream, are, as the author of Hebrews writes, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For example, in each painting of Midsummer Night's Dream, Rollins and KOS have placed the mustard seed. This seed is a reference to Matthew 17:20, and I quote, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you," end quote. Responding to these verses, Rollins has said, and here I quote from him, "Art is like prayer. If you believe in the power of prayer, prayer can move mountains. If you don't believe in the power of prayer, it is useless. If you believe in the power of art, it too can move mountains and change lives. If you don't believe in art, it is likewise useless," end quote. Not only do works such as A Midsummer Night's Dream remind us of the goodness, truth, and beauty of faith, this work demonstrates how works of art may be powerful realizations of faith in the present by making the invisible visible. Works of art materialize the immaterial and make abstract concepts tangible reality. Therefore, art, the visual arts, can play a particularly valuable and unique role in helping us imagine and understand the reality of our faith. Although I'm an art historian and not a theologian, I have observed from the example of Tim Rollins and KOS three elements of biblical vocation, what we might call three biblical mandates. These are the creation mandate, the community mandate, and the commission mandate. I hope that as I talk specifically about Tim Rollins and KOS, that each of you will consider how these three mandates have bearing upon you as you develop your own sense of Christian vocational calling. I would propose that a biblical understanding of vocation begins with the knowledge that we are each individually created in, by, and for Christ for the purpose of knowing and serving Him. I believe that a biblical self-image begins by considering our own being created in the image of God. This creation mandate begins in the book of Genesis. It begins with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. We are introduced to God first as a creator. Not surprisingly, God's own creation bears his mark and image. This is most clearly articulated in Genesis 1:26 to 28, and I quote, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it.'" End quote. In her book, The Mind of the Maker, Dorothy Sayers interpreted these verses as a description of human creators created in the image of a divine creator. She wrote, and I quote from her, "The characteristic common to God and man is apparently the desire and ability to make things." I'm not proposing to you this morning that this capacity to create is the limit of what it means to be created in the image of God. But a Christian vocation, particularly one in the visual arts, draws its initial direction and purpose from the first chapters of Genesis. I believe that every person is uniquely created by God with particular abilities, experiences, and opportunities through which we honor God in our faithful pursuit of his designs and desires. This creation mandate of Genesis is the foundation of a sacramental understanding of the creative person, that person in the image of God, and of creative work as being an example of filling the earth and subduing it. Therefore, the creation mandate has both liberties and responsibilities. Responding to this call as a validation and fulfillment of the artist's creative abilities is more than simply a permission for the artist to pursue his or her passions. In calling us to subdue and fill the earth, the Genesis mandate confirms that creative activity can be a divinely designed means of glorifying God in the present and being a vessel by which he makes his grace known in the world. In their work, The Creation, Tim Rollins and KOS invite us to contemplate the goodness of creation, not only in the beginning, but also as an ongoing creative process. Inspired by Haydn's oratorio, Rollins and KOS visualize the creative growth from chaos to order. This single work unfolds over a series of multiple pages of musical score, which are hung in a row. In 2006, The Creation was exhibited at the New York Center for Art and Media Studies, where I'm a professor and curator. As you see in this exhibition installation, The Creation is a work which the viewer is invited to walk along and view. Whereas most paintings can be seen fully from a single stationary vantage point, seeing the creation requires the viewer to move. In this movement, we are made a part of the work's unfolding in time and space. Through this work, we are reminded of how we are part of the unfolding of the process of God's creation from eternity to eternity. It is in recognizing our place in this ultimate history that we find our vocations as Christians. Specifically for the artist, this creation mandate and vocation is manifested in the realization of their own creative voice. Responding to a text by Franz Kafka, Rollins and KOS have developed a motif of a golden horn as a signifier of their own creative voice. Noting the reference that these trumpets make to the book of Revelation, Tim Rollins sees these works not merely as pretty pictures, but as agents of transformative beauty, which herald what the Reverend King called a beloved community. At times, each of us live and work as if creation and history were just God and us, that our personal relationship with God absolves us of our responsibilities and privileges to each other and to the world. Nevertheless, the universe as created by God is organically and fundamentally interconnected. Therefore, the community mandate is, in part, an extension of the wholeness expressed in the creation mandate. However, the community mandate also recognizes the truth that creation currently exists in a state of brokenness because of our sin. This community mandate is a challenge to work towards spiritual unity founded on creative acts of love. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15, 19 through 12, Christ states, and I quote, "As the Father loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." End quote. It is noteworthy that Christ gives this command, this love mandate, on the eve of his betrayal by Judas. In his book, Life Together, Dietrich Bonhoeffer reminds us that we should not take the gift of Christian community too lightly, since Christ suffered the loneliness of the cross so that we, sinners deserving that estrangement, might have community founded on the grace provided by Christ's blood. Bonhoeffer qualifies what he sees as a foundation for Christian community, writing, and I quote, "We belong to one another only through and in Jesus Christ." I take Bonhoeffer's "through and in" to suggest that Christ is both the means and the end of the community mandate. The community mandate contains both a promise of Christ's abiding love and a command that we love one another. Both of these have particular implications for the artist. For Tim Rollins and KOS, each work of art is an act of love. It is an act of agape love, a love that binds and heals brokenness. The creative process is an act of love between the artist and their materials. As the final work of art is brought to completion, it is a realization of wholeness in which all the parts of the work are bound together without any of them being robbed of their own unique individuality. A work of art such as America One is a material manifestation of wholeness that welcomes the viewer into its fold. In each work of art, Tim Rollins and KOS realize an internal unity. In America Five, we see a congregation of unique horns, each designed by different members of KOS, that are united into a symphony which Tim calls their joyful noise. As these individual horns become part of the larger painting, this work becomes a vision of what King called the beloved community. The central motif of this work is a golden horn that evokes a ladder. Perhaps this is Jacob's ladder, on which angels, symbolized by golden horns, ascend and descend. Thus, America Five is not only an image in the present of a temporal community, it is a vision of divine revelation in which heaven itself opens up and floodgates of peace, joy, and blessing pour forth. America Five is in the permanent collection of the Museum of Modern Art in New York, one of the premier collections of 20th and 20th century art. I call your attention to this, not with the intention of trying to impress you with Tim Rollins and KOS's achievement, but rather I want to emphasize that Rollins and KOS's creative work of agape love does not end when the painting is finished. In fact, works like America Five are complete only when the viewer is brought into that community-creating power. The third mandate, which has bearing on the vocation of the Christian, is found in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, what is sometimes called the Great Commission. And I quote, "And Jesus came speaking to them and saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" End quote. The commission mandate has both a present-oriented command directing the Christian into the world, and an eternity-oriented promise that Christ will complete the work that he has begun. Both the present-oriented command and the eternity-oriented promise have specific implications for the artistic vocation. In the present, in the year 2010, we live in an increasingly arts and media-driven culture. I believe that Christianity has something unique and important to contribute to ongoing dialogues within our culture. Although I am encouraged by examples such as Tim Rollins and KOS, I am also concerned that the Christian community's voice in this influential area of the visual arts in particular still remains weak and sometimes without a clear sense of purpose and direction. The art of Tim Rollins and KOS represents one example of an artist of faith taking the goodness, truth, and beauty of God into the contemporary art world. In works like This Little Light of Mine, Tim Rollins returns to a hymn that he learned as a boy in the Baptist choir. One of the themes of This Little Light of Mine is the power of a single spark of faith. Like a mustard seed, even the littlest light has the potential to set the world on fire. The commission mandate recognizes that neither the goodness of creation nor the brokenness of sin are history's final chapter. The final beautiful chapter for those who are in Christ is one of redemption and reconciliation. Therefore, the power of art founded on this commission mandate is not limited to the present, but may also have implications for eternity. Works of art, such as This Little Light of Mine, not only addresses the world as it is, it also envisions the world as it will be. Not only that, but the work of art may participate prophetically into calling that more beautiful world into being in the present. In I See the Promised Land, Rollins and KOS reflect on King's final sermon, delivered in Memphis, Tennessee on the eve of his death. The motif of the triangle not only visually evokes a mountain, its upward movement across the painting directs us towards the promised land. You may note that the apex of this triangle extends beyond the painting's top. For Rollins and KOS, this suggests that the final realization of faith, that substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, lies in eternity. Although the completion of the promised land lies in eternity, works of art, such as this example, are a vision of that future beauty already realized in the present. In conclusion, the creation mandate, the community mandate, and the commission mandate affirm a particular conception of Christian vocation. We are created in God's image for the present purpose of both human and divine community, and with the hope that the future realization of what God is doing in and through us is only partially visible in the present. Here in the heart of gospel music, I would like to conclude with a few lines from a gospel hymn written by Raymond Raspberry. Only what you do for Christ will last. Sparing you the absence of my musical talent, I will read these lines, which go in part. You may build cathedrals large or small. You may build skyscrapers grand and tall. You may conquer all the failures of the past, but only what you do for Christ will last. You may seek earthly power and fame. The world might be impressed with your great name. Soon the glories of this life will pass, but only what you do for Christ will last. Thank you, and God bless you.